Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, I can't hear anything anymore. Otis, should I be able to hear you?
Can you hear us?
Yes. Okay, I'll get on with it. Blessed be God's kingdom now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, all to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him, the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish, he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out himself to death and was numbered with his transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made the intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 91. Rufus will respond by half verse. Because you have made the Lord your refuge,
and the Most High your habitation,
there shall be no evil happen to you.
Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling.
For he shall give his angels charge over you,
to keep you in all your ways.
They shall bear you in their hands,
lest you dash your foot against a stone.
You shall tread upon the lion and the adder.
You shall trample the young lion and the serpent under your feet.
Because he is bound to me in love, therefore will I deliver him.
I will protect him because he knows my name.
He shall call upon me, and I will answer him.
I am with him in trouble. I will rescue him and bring him to honor.
With long life will I satisfy him
and show him my salvation.
A reading from the letter of the Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among mortals to put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," as he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears, one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Saint Mark. James and John, sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized at the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I don't usually roll my eyes when I read the gospel. On the first pass, I reread this passage and thought, well, this is about leadership. It's leadership. I've seen so many books, so many articles. I've seen lots of talks about leadership. It's one of those topics about which you might hear lots of opinions, yet recall little in the following days and weeks, or even hours, right? Well, this time it's a lectionary. It's a gospel serving up nuggets of wisdom about leadership. Well, leadership is different in the kingdom of God. And really, this is about more than leadership. But leadership is different in the kingdom of God and in the church, or at least it's supposed to be. For instance, we're not supposed to want to be priests, for one thing. I mean, it's okay to want to be, but first we have to be called into church leadership, ordained leadership. So what is it with these zealous brothers, James and John? They sort of barge in and say that they want to be able to tell Jesus what to do. And they're intent on him making them second in command. It's kind of amazing. Jesus is, he's merciful and patient with them. He tells them the truth. And this is one of the toughest things to learn as a priest. It's our duty and our privilege to tell the truth. Yes. But keeping your job in the meantime, well, that's where we start to see the fine art at work in this, telling the truth. Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking." And that was that. He reaffirmed their calling as well. He was sure not to belittle them, you know, about drinking the cup. Lots of early church fathers said that this is symbolic of taking on the cross. And the baptism that he referred to is his death. He reaffirms their calling, saying, "Yes, you're going to do. Can you do that?" They say, "Yes, we can." And he says, "Well, of course you can, and you will." But the rest, when they said, "Yeah, and we want to be in charge," he said, "No." And he explained it was not his call. And it was then, when the disciples overheard it, that we got to hear Jesus' own thoughts on leadership. He said, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slaves of all. It's like we get a glimpse into the power dynamics in the kingdom of God here. Servant leadership. Carl Jung was a father of personality psychology. Since his days, many different thoughts and ideas have come and gone about personality psychology, even the idea that personality is not actually a thing. There's some hardcore behaviorists in the psychology world who say that there's no such thing as a personality. There's just what you decide to do in any given moment. I think they're wrong, by the way. But there's been one theory of personality has been shown to have some explanatory power for lots of questions over and over again. It's the so-called, the five dimensions, the so-called Big Five. Some of you might have heard of this. The Big Five dimensions of personality are conscientiousness, agreeableness, extroversion / introversion, neuroticism, and openness to new experience. I think our religion, or at least our expression of our religion, is certainly skewed toward people who score high on that last dimension, openness to new experience. And you might think James and John are remarkably so, but Jesus says differently here. At least he implies it. James and John are trying to secure positions of power, and in much the same way as you might seek earthly power. They come in and just try to take it. It's more of the same stuff. Early church fathers said that it was a quest for temporal power and glory, unfitting of a disciple, and showing an earthly misunderstanding of the kingdom of God. And to surmount this misunderstanding, they will have to hear Jesus when he says what he says to them. He describes a new order of power particular to the kingdom of God. Among the traits associated with openness to new experience are being open to new experience and also being happy to think about abstract concepts. And Jesus himself spent time doing these things and encouraging others to do the same. By the time Jesus was born, his own religion was reduced to the strict observance of over 600 laws discerned by the Pharisees. They resisted change, the Pharisees, seeing it as their duty to defend their faith by linking faithfulness only to obedience and nothing more. Now, theirs wasn't the only flavor of Judaism going at the time. There were others operating those times too. There's a Rabbi Hillel whose teachings are really similar to how Jesus taught the faith. And there were others as well. And that's just like how, you know, fundamentalist tinged evangelicalism isn't the only flavor of our faith going these days. But that Pharisaic 600 laws business, it was the dominant and popular strain of Judaism at the time, and the one against Jesus preached and taught most vigorously.
Yes.
So let's retrace our steps here before we lose our way. The dominant strain in Judaism that Jesus railed against was typified by what psychologists might now call a low openness to new experience. James and John, being focused on a worldly model of power as they sought to secure positions of power from Jesus here, also showed that they could be more open to new experience. The kingdom of God is a new order, a new life, a different dynamic of power from what we have fashioned for ourselves. And we must not mistake what we have fashioned for ourselves for something that comes from God. Jesus indeed described the order which he himself emulated, a leader as servant. And the precedent is here in our reading from Isaiah. He bore the sin of many and made intercessions for the transgressors. So Jesus wasn't making it up out of whole cloth. And also, I'd add, if he were making it up, it would make a lot more sense. Heresies are like that. when they square the corners, it's usually some kind of heresy. If it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, like the doctrine of the Trinity or the servant leadership business, that bears a mark of divine inspiration. So are you lost or confused yet? So were James and John. And so am I a little. Jesus, I believe, also asked us and them to trust the process, the project of God's redemption and deliverance of the world, a project which we, along with James and John, and the whole community of saints, are also a part. In the collect for today, we pray that Christ, in Christ, God has revealed his glory to the nations, and we ask him to preserve the works of his mercy. The works of his mercy. That's one of those phrases that can roll off your tongue before you have a minute to think about what it could mean. What are the works of his mercy? Well, like this incident with James and John, the way that Jesus received them, or the way Thomas's doubt wasn't squelched, you know, wasn't condemned, but rather Thomas was still received. And countless intercessions of God in my own life. I think there's not a clear point here, but rather a big reminder of God's mercy, and that we can be bolstered with the assurance of his mercy to cultivate and maintain a certain faithful openness to new experience. And I'd add, too, that I think God dreams certain possibilities for us. There are things that we cannot conceive of. There are things that if we trust God and we listen, we see hints of it and we live into that. We live into that direction and we become more ourselves than we could dream of. And we come into new possibilities. We win in ways that we couldn't have imagined. Sometimes maybe we grieve more gracefully than we could have imagined. Or maybe, you know, we're able to run a business very well, whatever it might be. There are possibilities that we can't see until we're standing in it, until we trust in just the right way and find ourselves living a bigger, fuller, more charitable life than we could have conceived of. The point is, we can be less like James and John here, less like the misguided and rigid Pharisees, and more like Jesus himself, open to revelations when they come, more like Mary, his mother, who, when she was confronted by an angel powerful enough to have a name, she received it with questions. She wasn't freaked out. Or more like John the Baptist, whose mother, Mary's cousin Elizabeth, chose a name for John given by God, but a name that wasn't shared by any of his relatives, the name that was all his own. Love emanates from all of this mystery, which beckons us to question just as we celebrate God's glory and to listen for God's fresh revelation and to see with eyes widened with childlike wonder. Amen.
The Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, with him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified unto Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceed from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, deacons, especially Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Jeff, Hector, and Kay, our bishops, and Michael, our priest,
that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments,
including Ben. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
Our work has found favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
We pray especially for John, Nancy, Morgan, David, Judy, Bob, Gary, June, Cheryl, Carolyn, Jill, Mary, Deb, the people in Afghanistan, Alan, James, Lynn, Kristen, Patrick, Dale, Karen, Gail, Abigail, Robin, Virginia, Maureen, David, Kenyon, Sarah, Lindsay, Carol, Travis, Sheila, Donna, Donald, Caitlin, Norman, Joe, Jim, Gilbert, the women in the Hutto facility, Ann, Jenny, Alice, Ellie, Leah, Merrill, Cherise, RG, Rashonda, Marianne, Betty, Melissa, Christopher, Charles, Patty, Ryan, Glenda, Winifred, Shelley, Leslie, Doug, Butch, Cindy, Linda, Dan, Christopher's father, Alan, Ed, the Degatier family, William, Joe, Greg, Mark, Bonnie and Ed, Diane, Craig, Carol, Calvin, Janet, Amber and her family, and Colton. And for those who serve in the military, especially Brian, Trevor, James, Jonathan, Kevin, Chris, Gerard, Brian, Eric, and all in harm's way. Give to the departed eternal rest,
that light perpetual shine upon them.
We pray for the repose of the souls of Habakkuk Ramos, priest Glenn Childers, Kay Weaver, and all who have died from the coronavirus, and for all who mourn their passing. We praise your name for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
You can unmute for this. Anything you want to pray out loud for? I pray for Tammy, who's having surgery this week.
I ask your prayers for all who are traveling this week, especially Mark and Cesar. I ask your thanksgiving for the birthdays of Laverne Broad, Mark Pack, and all who celebrate their birthdays. And happy anniversary to Stacy and Bruce McComas. Praise God in every generation in whom Christ has honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify God, Christ, in our own way.
Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart, and especially the hearts of the people of this land, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease. That our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins for our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. I invite you to unmute for the peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace.
Peace, everyone.
The wisdom of God, the love of God, and the grace of God strengthen you to be in Christ's hands and heart in this world. In the name of the Holy Trinity. Amen. Unmute and stay unmuted. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.